word. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, you should have John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12. Take a look at verse 26, John 12, 26. Jesus is speaking here, and listen at what he says. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, I want to read that again. Okay? I want to read it again. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And so my subject today, this morning, is a very simple subject, Christian service. Christian service. Hallelujah. And I want you to notice, though, in John 20, 12:26, Jesus said, if anyone serves me, okay? If anyone serves me. And later on in the same verse, he says, if anyone serves me. You see that? If anyone serves me. Now, we know that we are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are washed in the blood. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. If you're born again, you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been made a new creature or a new creation spiritually. Spiritually, you are a new creation. You are a new person on the inside. And so what that means is that you just transitioned from the family of the devil into God's family. Amen. You became a servant of the devil unto a child of God. Okay? And that's what has happened. Amen. There has been a transition. You're in different families now. But sometimes we forget that, you know, the transition is not the end of it. Now, the transition, being born again, that's what we need to have eternal life. Once you're born again, you have eternal life abiding on the inside of you. Amen. But we have been, listen to me, each and every one of us have been called to serve. You hear me? We have been called to serve him. You know, it's amazing to me, and we won't read them all, but I'll read just a couple of them. But for example, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I'm reading here from my New King James Bible, where it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. If you reading from the King James Version, it says, Paul, a servant of God. But what I want to identify here is Paul identified himself as a servant of God. You with me? He identified himself as a servant of God. Peter identified himself as a servant of God. Or as a bond servant of God. In other words, you know, he's bound to Jesus Christ. He's committed to the service of the Lord. James, a servant of the Lord. Jude, a servant of the Lord. And guess what? You can place your name there. My name also happened to be James. So I can say, James, a servant of the Lord. Amen. Use your name. Call yourself a servant of the Lord. Because that's what our calling is, to serve him. Now, we all serve him in different capacities. Amen. We all serve him in different capacities, but each and every one of us have been called. Let me tell you something. Please hear me good. You walk around every day with a calling on your life. There's a calling on your life. It may not be to the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. You may not function in one of those offices, but you are still called of God to serve. All of us are. Hallelujah. So now, when you take on that mindset, it will change your life. You hear me? Let me say that again. When you take on that mindset, it will change your life. Why don't you tell yourself, I've been called to serve? Go ahead, say it out loud. Say it again.
I've been called to serve.
Get it down on the inside of you. Say it again.
I've been called to serve.
Yes. We've been called to serve. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, well, let me go ahead and read verse 58, 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, and he tells us here some things that we need to be and some things that we need to do. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always doing what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Doing what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Our calling is to serve the Lord. And so we're told to always abound in the work of the Lord. And listen what else it says. Knowing that your labor, everybody say labor. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everybody is supposed to be doing something. Everybody is supposed to be serving. If you're a child of God, you're supposed to be serving him. And of course, one of the reasons, this is not the only reason, but one of the reasons that we come to church is so that we can learn how to be better servants. So that we can learn how to be more productive in our service to the Lord. Isn't it good to know that what you do for the Lord is not in vain? What we do for the Lord will never, ever be forgotten. Think about it. Think about it for a moment. What we do for the Lord, let's make it personal. What you do for the Lord would never be lost in eternity. Never. Because that's our calling. That's part of it. To serve Him. To serve Him. Hallelujah. And so we have to get that in our thinking, that I have been called to serve the Lord. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 there, notice he said, let me read it to you again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I find it mighty interesting, and you can read this later on. I find it mighty interesting that this was written after he talked about the catching away of the church. If you read on up in the 15th chapter, you know, he's talking about, you know, how in the twinkling of an eye, you know, we'll be called away. The church will be called away and so forth. And, you know, I won't go into all of it. You can go back and read it, excuse me, in your spare time. But notice he's saying we need to be busy serving the Lord because the days are getting short. One day we're going to be taken out of here and we will no longer serve Him in this capacity in the earth. I like to bring this up. You know, we should always serve God because we love Him, and we should always serve God because we want to be obedient children. But like I told you, our service is never forgotten. And so the Bible tells us, and let me remind you this, you know this already, I believe, but the Bible tells us that one day we're going to, I'm talking about the Christians, the born-again believers, the Bible tells us that one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, it's called the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. This, and please don't confuse it with the white throne judgment. You don't want to be there. And if we are there, we'll be standing behind Christ Jesus, not in front of Him. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us that one day we will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And what is He going to do there? He's going to reward us for our service. He's going to reward us for our obedience. Amen. Put that 58 verse back up there again. Let me read it to you again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not what?
In vain.
It's not in vain in the Lord. And there's two parts to that. When you serve the Lord, it's not in vain because someone else is going to reap the benefits of your service. In other words, somebody else is going to be blessed. But not only that, well, what the Bible says, give, and guess what? You will receive. Sow, and you shall reap. Well, here's the thing. When we serve the Lord, we're sowing, yes, but we're going to reap eternal rewards. We're going to reap eternal rewards. Praise God, hallelujah. You still with me? And so, as I said earlier, turn forward a little bit to the book of Ephesians. Now, those of us that are ministers, and it's not just the fivefold ministry, but others as well, because you can serve, you can teach, you can do a number of things without being a part of the fivefold ministry. But let me get to the right page here. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And just drop down to verse 11, please. Drop down to verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some. Now, he himself is Jesus Christ, okay? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Oh, by the way, before I go any further, let me make this statement. Let me ask a question. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, who is it that gave them, who appointed and anointed them to stand in that office? Can somebody tell me? Jesus Christ himself. Okay? Now, I'm standing before you, and I want to tell you something. I did not call me to be a pastor. Any of you that have known me for a lot of years, especially when I was younger, I was one of the ones that were probably least likely to become a pastor. I was shy. And standing before a bunch of people, you kidding me? No, not me. But guess what? God had other ideas. Because it's Jesus is the one that does the calling. He's the one that does the anointing. He's the one that gives the gifts. So I just want to park there just a moment. I just want to take a little rest stop right there so that you understand that these callings come from Christ himself. We don't just sit up one day and decide, okay, let me see. There's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Wonder which one I want to be. Wonder which one would I could make the most money. How can I, which one would give me the biggest offerings? I've heard people say, man, I think I'll be a preacher so I can take up me some offerings. See, just want to establish that fact that God does the calling. But pastor, how do you know if you're called? People know in different ways. But the strongest way of all, you'll know right on the inside. Right on the inside of you. Amen? It won't be because mama told you you were called. It won't be because daddy told you you were called. Now they may pick up something from the Spirit concerning you, but it's got to confirm what's already there. If somebody prophesies to you that you are called to a certain ministry, there should be a witness that it's already there. If it's not, you take that prophecy, that word, and set it up on the shelf somewhere and go on about your life until God confirms it on the inside of you. Can I get an amen on that? Hallelujah. Okay, all right, I said that we need to move on. But you have to understand something, brothers and sisters. That's important. You don't become an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher just because you want attention, just because it'll make you look important. People respect you. And by the way, respect is earned anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. I need to go on. Did y'all get anything out of that? Alrighty. So he gave some apostles, prophet, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, look at verse 12. Now, this is our responsibility. For the equipping of the saints. For what? For what? The work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Sounds like service to me. What do you think? Part of our job is to equip you to serve, to help you find and locate the gifts and callings of God for your life. Now, let me say something else. I want to throw this in also. Some folks say, well, I'm gonna sit right here until God tell me what he want me to do. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to budge until God tells me what he wants me to do. Let me tell you something, saints of God. You are to do what your hands find to do. You are to do what you know to do. See, we get too caught up. We get too caught up, and sometimes it's self-importance that we don't want to do the simple things. And we say we serve God. But if a poor man walked by, we don't want to serve him a bowl of soup because that's beneath our dignity. You know, we don't associate with such people. We have a higher calling of God. We're going to another verse in a moment. But let me tell you something. Sometimes people take on that mindset that I can't be seen doing this now. I can't be seen doing that because I'm too important for that. You know, I've been pastoring this church. This coming June will be 35 years. Will be 35 years. Can I help you with something? I am not so important that I can't vacuum a floor, clean a bathroom, or do whatever else needs to be done. Every minister, every pastor needs good helpers. You need people working in the ministry of helps. Y'all listening to me? Every pastor needs that. But you know, sometimes if there's nobody available, guess who have to do it? Hallelujah. Amen. You have to do it. And so, you know, I don't think I am so all that I can't change a light bulb, sweep a floor. Shouldn't have to. And thank God for all of you that help. But I'm just saying, I'm letting you know, I am not above it. Y'all still with me? Too many times we begin, especially sometimes us ministers can be guilty of that, of thinking that we are so, how do I want to say it? You know, we're so important that we can't stoop to help anybody else. we're not that important. Amen. I got to move on. I hope you're still with me. So let me read verse 12 again. For the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up, the strengthening of the body of Christ. That's our job, to teach you. To teach you how to find your place and operate in your place. But in the meantime, if you see something that needs to be done, what are you to do? Amen. Now, you know what? If we had gathered here like we are today, you know, and I spot some paper or whatever on the floor, guess what I'm going to do? No, I'm not. I'm going to ask one of you if you would pick it up. Okay? I'm going to ask you if you would pick that up. But because I ask you to pick it up don't mean I'm above picking it up. Because if you refuse to pick it up, guess who will pick it up? I will. But we should all be willing to do the small things, because he that is faithful in little things or small things, guess what? God will make him. In other words, if he know how to be in charge of small things, God will put him in him or her in charge of greater things. Greater things. Because we have to understand something. Don't do it because pastor's looking. Do it because God is looking. Say that again. Don't do it because pastor is looking. You do it because God is looking. Therefore, if pastor's not there, and there's piece of paper on the floor and you know it need to be picked up, you pick it up because you know God's looking. And besides, you should want to pick it up because this is your church and you want your church to look nice. Amen. We all should be people of excellence. Everybody say excellence.
Excellence.
We serve an excellent God and we should want excellence. Amen. But we got to get self out of the way. We got to get self out of the way. Praise God. Praise God. See if I want to take you somewhere else before we quit. Well, let's just read on. Because I'm not going to finish this. I'm not going to try to finish it today, but we will continue. Let's go back to verse 12, and I'll begin to conclude here for now. For the equipping of the saints, that's our responsibility, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, there's another reason that God set the fivefold ministry in the church. And verse 13 tells us that, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, perfect meaning mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to this. This is what God wants. Are you ready for me? Please pay attention to this. Don't let this slip. This is what God wants. And this is part of our responsibility. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men or women in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. I wanted to deal with that a little bit before we quit because it's important. That's part of our responsibility is to teach you the word of God, to teach you the truth of God, so that when you get out there among the wolves that's dressed up in sheep's clothing, you'll be able to discern both good and evil. You'll be able to discern what's of the devil, what's of the flesh, and you'll be able to discern what's of the Spirit of God. You'll recognize that God is in this, or you'll recognize that God is not in this. Let me tell you something that really bothers me is when I see as a Christian and as a pastor, when I see people drawn away from the Word of God, following heresy and error simply because it looks good and it feels good. Following someone with a charismatic personality. Come on, you know if the devil's coming after you, he's not coming after you being boring. He's trying to get your attention. See, that's the reason you need to measure everything by this book. Y'all hear me? Base everything on what the Word of God says. Don't get carried away by someone's personality, how flamboyant they may be. Because the Bible says, let me read again, that you should no longer be children tossed to and fro. And notice, if you can be tossed to and fro, you're still a child, according to the word, spiritually speaking, according to the word of God. Cared about, leave it up there, please. I'm reading it. Cared about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Please, brothers and sisters, examine everything by the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, if you're wondering about someone, wondering about a certain ministry or whatever, and if I know anything about it that will help you, I'm not going to cut anybody down, but if I know anything that will help you, I'm willing to help you because I want you to remain stable. Your eyes should always be on the Word, on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Nothing or nobody should pull you, anyone should pull you or draw you away from the Word of God. No one should keep you from depending on Jesus Christ and trusting Him. It's happening today. Believe me, it would astound you. Some folks who 10, 15 years ago was fired up for God, but they're not today. Now they're denying Him. They're denying Him. I gotta quit, but let me finish. Speaking the truth in love. This is verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You see that? Every joint supplies. That's service, isn't it? I said, that's service, isn't it? Everybody doing their part. Every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part, what? Say what? Amen. And guess what happened? Causes growth. Finish it. I need you to help us grow. Be willing to serve. Like I said, we're gonna deal with this some more. But I want you to get the serving mindset that I'm going to serve God. God has gifted me, and I'm going to use what I have to help build the body of Christ. And guess where it begins? Right here in church. Because notice in verse 16 again, I'm getting ready to close. Musicians can come on. Getting ready to close. Let me read it to you again. I want you to grab a hold of it. From whom the whole body joined and knit together. See, our job is to bring the body of Christ together. Amen. Beginning right here in the church and spreading out among the body of Christ. We need to love one another. We need to be for one another. We don't need to fight against one another. Are you still here? Because we are more effective. We're more powerful when we're united. United, we stand. Divided, we fall. Anything that's fighting among itself, any group that fight among themselves, is going to collapse. Don't ever forget that. So let me finish because I'm getting ready to quit. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, everybody doing their part, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Are you willing to help the body of Christ grow? Amen. Are you willing to do your part to help this church grow? Amen. Amen. We need your service right here in this family. We need your service. Let me say that again. We need your service. God didn't call, he called me to pastor, but he didn't call me to do it by myself. He called me to do it by myself. But he called us to work together in love, each one doing their part. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Let him find us working when he comes. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will never return, Lord.